Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we just want to pause and praise and exalt your name. You are the one true God of heaven and earth. There is no other God but you. Lord God, it is you who have saved us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is you who have raised us, sinners, to be sons and daughters of the Most High. Lord God, it is through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, we are no longer lost, but we are a people. We are the church, the body of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your church, Lord God. And we just pray tonight that as we examine your word, you will give us understanding and wisdom to hear what you are saying to us tonight, to hear your still small voice, not to see the speaker, but to see the message, the one giving the message tonight, which is your Son. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. She's not too distracting, is she? Yeah, he's taken her out. All right. So tonight, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to examine why Paul was so motivated to pray for the church of Ephesus. He was motivated to pray that they would grow, that they would grow in wisdom and in the revelation of God, and why we should pray also for one another. We'll also look at how Paul has provided us with a guide to specific and effective prayer. So why? Why was Paul so motivated to pray for the church? And the simple answer is because God first loved that church. God loves his people. The love of our God and Heavenly Father towards us is so great, we will never fully comprehend it until we reach heaven one day. First and foremost, I want everything that we look at tonight, fill your heart with praise and worship for our great God. As we look at these passages, I want you to not only see the benefits of what we've received, but see the giver, the one who has provided us with all these blessings, to see our great and holy God, to see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through God's love, we have been blessed in this life and the life to come with unimaginable blessings. And we see that throughout the first 14 verses, particularly from verses 3 to 14. We see God's heart overflowing with love for us. To our Heavenly Father, we are more precious than we could ever comprehend. We see in verses that God extends his love to us through his Son, Jesus. When Jesus bore the full wrath of God upon himself, God's holy judgment to set us free. In verse 3, if you want to look with me really quickly, we read, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. God has blessed us with everything we need in the heavenly places. Verse 4, he chose us. Before the creation of the world, God chose you. You didn't choose him. Verse 5, he predestined or set us apart to be to adoption, sons and daughters. Verse 7, through the blood of his or Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. God gave his Son Jesus that we might experience forgiveness. And verse 8, that forgiveness of our trespasses, he lavished, not just portioned out small, but lavished, heaped upon you, God's forgiveness. God's heart is overflowing with love for his children. I need to ask myself, how is my heart towards other believers? In verse 15, Paul says, "For this reason, I too," suggesting or telling us that because God loves his church so much, I, Paul, will love God's church so much. Do I have that same heart? Because God sees his church as precious, Paul saw the church as precious. Does my fellowship within the church, does my prayer life reflect my heart that I can truly say, for this reason, I too, Peter, you, I too love the church, love God's people. In verse 16, we see Paul overflowing with thanks. "I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." Like God's heart, we can see Paul's heart starting to overflow with love for the church of Ephesus. It showed itself in his thanks to God. You don't give thanks for something you don't love. I know when my boys, they don't love pumpkin. When we bake pumpkin, there is not a lot of thanks. When we have pizza bought from the pizza shop, there is a lot of thanks, a lot of outflow. And it's the same with us. When we really love something, thanks and praise should naturally pour forth from our heart. And we see that happening with Paul. It was a natural reflex. And this love was a huge motivating factor for Paul. He was personally invested in their spiritual welfare. He was personally invested in seeing the growth of that church. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. We're going to look at a couple of verses in Acts chapter 19. And this chapter particularly speaks about Paul in his time in the Ephesus church. So starting from the beginning of, halfway through verse 9. And we're going to read verse 9 and 10. "He withdrew from them and took away the disciples." So Paul's in Ephesus. He's had some trouble. He's withdrawn from the troubled areas and reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. That's what I really wanted to pick up. Daily, Paul was working with the disciples in Ephesus. This took place for 2 years. So that all who lived in Asia, and that includes Ephesus, heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Daily, Paul was working with the church. Not for a short period of time, but for a considerable 2 years. He was personally invested to see their spiritual growth. And through the grace of God, so amazing. I love this chapter. It was during this time that Ephesus experienced a great time of spiritual awakening. God the Father in grace opened the hearts and minds to the magnificent truths of Jesus Christ. Let's read that together. We're going to read verses 19 and 20, but in your own time, read through this chapter. It's incredible. Verse 19 of Acts chapter 19. "And many of those who practiced magic, brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the price and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing." just FYI, I've calculated it roughly, and I hope I'm right. One piece of silver is a day's worth of work. 50,000 pieces of silver currently today is about $9.6 million Australian. A significant amount. And it just is a reflection of their heart turning from Christ, turning from their evil ways to Christ. Daily, Paul was in Ephesus, sharing the good news of the kingdom of God. He loved them as his own children. He had seen them grow. He had spent time encouraging them and building up the church. Does my love for my believers show? How invested are we in the spiritual growth, the spiritual lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ? Is the love that I have for my fellow believers evident in the time that we spend fellowshipping together, in the time that we spend in prayer with others? As a husband or a wife, parents, even sons and daughters, we need to ask ourselves, does my life show that I am personally invested in the spiritual growth of my own family? Paul loved the church, and he wanted to see them remain focused on Christ. Tonight, God is encouraging us to see God, see others as God sees them. He wants us to see each other as more precious than we could imagine. He wants this to propel us to love each other, to be personally invested in each other's spiritual growth. And so, we know now that we should be building one another up. I think you guys knew that already. The Lord has filled our hearts. I can see that on your faces. You're now filled with enthusiasm to encourage each other and to get on this spiritual walk together. But the question remains, how can we do it? It's funny you should ask that, because we're going to get into that right now. One of the greatest things you could be doing for your brother and sister is praying for them. Spending time alone before the Lord, upholding a brother and sister. But Paul gives us, in verse 17 of our reading tonight, if you want to flick over to it, Paul gives us two specific things that we can pray for them. Let's read verse 17, see if you can get it. So, in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. So the two things that Paul is encouraging us to pray for each other, is that we receive wisdom, or grow in wisdom, and grow in our revelation. Wisdom and revelation of God and our Lord Jesus. To know and see clearly our God and his power, and Jesus Christ in his glory. To know and see what we have been blessed with through Jesus Christ. What fantastic things that we can be praying for each other right now. We could pray that our loved ones come through a trial, or We could pray that through their trial, they grow in their knowledge of God the Father, who carries us, who gives us the strength to endure. We could pray that our loved ones, our brothers and sisters' struggles are taken away. Paul did it. Even Jesus Christ in the garden prayed this. But wouldn't it be much better that we all prayed that they could see, that we could see our Lord and Savior clearly during those trials, to truly know the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always with us, even to the end of this age. Let's really strive to pray for one another, that we grow in wisdom of who our God is, that we grow in the revelation of God to see Him clearly. In verse 18, Paul encourages us to pray for each other, that we might be enlightened to know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches, the glory of His inheritance in the saints. In this passage, enlighten has the idea of comprehend or understand. So we are to comprehend the hope of God's calling on our life. We need to pray for each other that despite our circumstances that we go through, our eyes remain fixed on Him. Our eyes remain fixed on God. When we go through trials, so often our hearts can become downcast. We lose sight of our hope. But when our hearts, the eyes of our heart are fixed on God, on the hope that we have in our God, when we comprehend the hope of God's calling on my life, despite the trials we endure, we will prevail. Are your eyes fixed on your God? More than ever, we need to be praying for one another, that we each truly comprehend God's calling upon our own lives. This next section, verses 18 to 23, I love it. Paul fleshes out growing in wisdom and in revelation of God. And you can see as he's writing, I could just imagine his mind just bubbling and overflowing with these thoughts about the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ and the great declaration at the very end of who our Savior is and where God the Father has raised Him up. Such excellent things we can be praying for each other. Continuing on in verse 18. So that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance on the saints. Our Heavenly Father has personally called you and I into relationship, and He will never let us go. Such knowledge should be driving us to strive for our Christian walk. The riches of His glory and the inheritance in the saints. Praise God for the great blessings that we have, which He freely pours out upon us as His children. Not only do we have unimaginable blessings in the life to come, just look at the great blessings that we have inherited right now. We should be praying that each of us takes hold of these. I'd like to encourage you to flick through a couple of passages with me as we look at a couple of blessings that I think are particularly pertinent. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians 4 tells us that we have an inheritance. We have inherited the peace of God. So Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. If you're going through persecution, the peace of God will guard your heart. If you are going through physical illness, the peace of God will guard your heart. If you're going through relationship trials or emotional trouble, the peace of God will guard you. That is God's promise. That is our inheritance as God's children. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. As well as peace, we have inherited joy. In Romans 15, verse 13, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace, joy and peace together, in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God has promised us our inheritance in this life is real joy, real peace. The world cannot take that away. It is what we have inherited. In going back to John chapter 16, verse 13, John 16, 13, it says, that we have inherited the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God Himself is our inheritance. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, and He has come, amen, He will guide you into all the truth. He will guide you in all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. God's Spirit guiding us in times of confusion, in times of trouble, times of trial. He will guide us. These are the great inheritances. Is that a word? Inheritances? That we have in this life through our God the Father. If you turn over to chapter 17, I think this is the icing on the cake. This is one of my favorite promises and inheritance that we have. John 17, verse 3. And Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Our inheritance is to know personally the God of all creation, our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not from afar, but to know them personally, intimately. This is our inheritance. And our inheritance in this life is only minuscule compared to what we will receive in eternity. Turn with me now to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. Sorry, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We have a great inheritance we cannot comprehend waiting for us. One day, you and I, brothers and sisters, will stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We will worship the Lamb. One day, we will stand before the throne of God and fall down and worship. We cannot comprehend what we will have. We will be perfect. We will know God perfectly. It's going to be fantastic. And that's where we're headed. We have a great inheritance. Paul ends this passage with a really excellent, tremendous description and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God the Father. In the Christian life, few things are attacked so viciously by the world than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The world wants to tear Christ down. They want us to think that Jesus was just a man who died and remains dead. God, clearly from this passage, wants us to know for certain the one we have put our trust in has been raised and is in heaven now. Sorry, I've lost my passage. There we go. Read with me from chapter 1, 19 to 23. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ. The might of God when he raised him from the dead. Christ is not dead. He has been raised from the dead. Christ has been seated at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. He put all things in subjection under his feet and gave Jesus as head over the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. It was God's power. It was God's strength that raised Jesus from the dead. It was God himself that seated Jesus over all rule and all authority, over all power and dominion. This is our Savior, seated on the throne, ruling over all things. Our Savior is alive and he is the head of the body of the church. The resurrection of Jesus is the unshakable proof of our salvation. God the Father wants us to know with certainty that he raised Jesus and he has exalted Jesus over all. Tonight, I encourage us, show love to one another. Become personally invested in each other's spiritual growth. Be committed to pray for one another, to continue, that we all shall continue to grow in wisdom and in the revelation of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you so treasure us, that you want us to know you so personally, so completely, that you've given us even an eternity to get to know you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself so freely to shed his blood to wash us free from our sins. Lord God, we pray that we become the prayer warriors that you have called us to be, that we really take the time to get on our knees and pray for our brothers and sisters, that we really encourage each other to grow in the Lord, to grow in our knowledge of our God and our Savior, to really see the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that is unshakable. It will not perish. It will not fade away. It is there for all eternity. And we just want to praise and glorify your name for your word tonight. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.